Hello, homemakers. Welcome to the Art of Home podcast, where we are exploring how homemakers cultivate a place to belong. I'm your host, Allison Weeks. I am a wife, a mom to four grown kids, granny to two, and I've been practicing the art of home for over 30 years. Welcome to all of our regular listeners, and welcome to any new listeners. I am honored that you all would trust me with some of your precious time today. I pray that you will find it is time well spent. We're going to be diving deep into the third pillar of homemaking on this episode, rhythms and routines. But first, I'm sharing a tiny bit about what I've been up to this past week. That means it's time for Allison's Update, the part of the show where I tell you what is happening in my home and what homemaking resources I am loving lately. This update is brought to you by listeners who support the Art of Home through Buy Me a Coffee. Buy Me a Coffee is a virtual tip jar where you can show your appreciation and support for the show by giving a one-time tip or becoming a Titus II Woman supporter and setting up a recurring tip of $5 per month. Titus II Women supporters receive access to a weekly audio version of our newsletter, Homemaker Happy Mail. Whichever way you choose to give, I am grateful for your support. I thought I would share with you today what our Easter weekend looked like. We had family come to stay and enjoyed much feasting and fun from Thursday through Sunday evening. Thursday night, I had planned to cook a roast, but life happened, and so we decided to take our guests to dinner at a fun little neighborhood restaurant that we recently discovered, and we just saved the roast for another night. Then, of course, Sunday was a big day of feasting, Easter baskets, and my grandson's first egg hunt, which was really just a photo op because he's just a toddler and didn't quite understand the concept. Our Easter menu included ham, simple baked sweet potatoes, green bean casserole, which I am not a fan of, but most of our family members are, deviled eggs, sauteed yellow squash with onions and butter, and my daughter-in-law's sourdough bread. We also celebrated my husband's birthday this weekend, so our dessert was, by his request, Texas Dr. Pepper sheet cake with homemade ice cream, both made by my oldest son. While all of that was delightful, I must share with you that I had two big fat failures in the kitchen this weekend. First, I made a blueberry coffee cake meant for Easter morning that smelled awesome and tasted terrible. And second, I made a gluten-free lemon meringue pie, which I have made very successfully in the past, for Easter dessert so that my youngest son could partake because the birthday cake was not gluten-free. It looked awesome. The meringue was lovely and it browned so nicely in the oven. But the custard did not set and it was a runny, icky mess. So friends, that just goes to show you that even after practicing the art of home for decades, we will still have failures. Just roll with it and don't take yourself too seriously. My identity does not lie in whether or not I can execute every recipe flawlessly. Praise the Lord. I will say, however, that my homemaking ego got a bit of a boost on Monday night when I created a lovely meal for my husband and myself from some weekend leftovers. I made pot roast vegetable soup and homemade pimento cheese. Both were delicious. If you have never made pimento cheese from scratch, I encourage you to give it a go. It's so easy, and it's so much better than store-bought. I will share those recipes with you in this week's newsletter, so make sure that you are on our mailing list. Sign up at theartofhomepodcast.com/subscribe. In podcast news, if you missed it last week, I had several announcements, including that applications and nominations for the Art of Home guests are open until April 5th. That is in just a couple of days when this episode airs. So if you want to apply or nominate a friend, don't wait. Go to theartofhomepodcast.com/guest for more information and links. Also, I am looking for guest writers to contribute to our weekly newsletter, Homemaker Happy Mail. You don't have to be a published author, just a homemaker with a unique perspective. You can find all the details, including editorial guidelines, topics, and deadlines on the Write For Us page of our website. Go to theartofhomepodcast.com/writer. That's WRITER. Now, on to today's episode. I am so excited to finally be talking about the third pillar of homemaking, Rhythms and Routines with my friend and past Art of Home guest, Leslie Licato. We will start with a brief review of the four pillars of homemaking, then spend some time defining rhythms and routines, talking about the differences between the two and giving some examples of each. Then we look at motivations, or the why, for establishing rhythms and routines, contrasting the world's ideas of why versus what God has to say about our why. Then we talk about four rhythms of Christian living: worship, rest, work, and play, what those might look like and how we can use homemaking to help and not hinder those rhythms. Finally, we will end with a few pitfalls to avoid when establishing rhythms and routines in your home. This is a great conversation, and I feel like we just barely scratched the surface of this topic, so we will be revisiting it in the future. But for now, consider today a primer on the third pillar of homemaking. I will be back at the end to share some top takeaways, so be sure to stick around for that if you need help distilling this broad topic into something you can use right away. Whatever you are applying your hands to as you listen today, I know that you will enjoy this deep dive into rhythms and routines in the home. Welcome to The Art of Home. We are going to talk today about the third pillar of homemaking, rhythms and routines. And I am here with a familiar voice, my friend Leslie Licato. And we were just about to decide why I had you on the show, Leslie, and then I thought, let's just get this on the record. Why do I have you on the show today to talk about this? So, Leslie, you've done a homemaker portrait with me, and I had you, was that 2 years ago that we talked about wellness?
Yes.
That was 2 years ago?
Yes. That's
Can you believe
crazy.
That? It's been 2 years?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'll link both of those episodes with Leslie in the show notes. You can go back and listen. But the reason why I thought of you to talk about this particular topic today was because when I see what you put out on your Instagram account, you're very thoughtful and intentional about how you redeem the time. And that was the name of the book that you were recommending. But I think that's something that the Holy Spirit just said, this is somebody you need to talk to, because you don't have it down, as none of us do. But I know this is on your heart. Like, this is something that's really important to you. So maybe you want to speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, I constantly live in this tension of wanting to be my most productive self, but then also wanting to live in full surrender to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the enemy, that is an area that he really can easily grasp in my life. And so I feel like with what I share on social media, then what I live within my family, I am constantly having to preach that message to my own heart. Mm-hmm. That my time is the Lord's, and He has called me to where I am in this specific moment, day, season, and I want to surrender that to Him, but I also want to make the most of it and be a good steward of my time. and so I feel like I am learning as I am sharing, mm-hmm. The value in how to make the most of the time we have and use it wisely and set good parameters around our days, but also with the realistic notion that life happens and we have to be flexible and we can't live and die by them,
mm-hmm.
but they can be helpful.
Yes, that is a very good way to put it. We can't live and die by them, but they can be helpful. Those rhythms and routines, they're tools, they're guidelines, they're boundary markers, however you want to think about it, you know.
Right.
They're the fence around the pasture that, you know, the pasture is wide and broad, and that's the pasture we enter into when we enter into the rest through Christ. And He's like, go, have fun, have a blast out in the pasture.
Yeah.
But there are some boundaries and parameters, and that's how I think about it.
Yeah, I was actually not sleeping great last night. And I was laying in bed thinking about how it almost parallels to the law that God gives us, right? Like, He gives us this law to abide by and to live by and to set these parameters.
Mm-hmm.
He also says that the law is not it. Like, the law is not my salvation. I am not saved by the law. I am saved by His grace and through faith and trusting Him in that mm-hmm. relationship. And He kind of gave me this parallel in my mind of my rhythms and routines and the things that I want in my home are similar. Like, they can be there as a parameter. They can be there as a guide. They can be there to help me and especially my kids and our family function in a way that we know is best for us.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not a definition of my worth. It's not a definition of my identity. It is not the end all be all.
Right.
And so I constantly am having to to adjust my mindset and use them as a gift of parameter, but hold them loosely with kind of an open-handed surrender of the Lord is, He is sovereign. He is over the details. And I can proclaim that in the big, scary things in my life, but sometimes I have to proclaim it in the everyday, mundane details of my day.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we're going to talk about all of those things in this conversation. So that was a good way to set that up. Briefly, before we jump into the rhythms and routines, I just want to remind everybody of what the four pillars are. And this is just something that I came up with because these were themes that I was noticing after the first couple of years of the podcast. These were some big overarching themes that just kept coming up in the conversations I was having with all of these women as far as their story of home and what were the main themes that I saw. And the first one, the big one, is identity. And they're all built on one another. So identity comes first. And then after that comes values and priorities, then rhythms and routines, and then community. And identity is the one that we need to get secure first. Because if we don't have our identity in the right place, then everything else is off. Understanding that our identity is in Christ alone, not in the way that I phrased it when I did that deep dive with Susan Macias, was it's not in our relationships, our resources, or our, what's the other R? I can't remember. Relationships, resources, or, oh gosh, it's left me. I'm going to have to go back and remind myself what it is. But anything that we can lose, right? All of those things can be taken from us. Even the best marriage, one of the spouses is going to die before the other one, probably. Even the best job situation, no matter what it is, those things are temporal. We can lose them, but we can never lose Jesus. So we can never lose our identity when it is completely founded in Christ. So that's what that is basically saying. Then from there, we build on the rest. We have the values and priorities because our identity in Christ will help inform what we value and what we prioritize. Mm-hmm. And then what we value and prioritize will inform how we spend our time. And that's the rhythms and routines part. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And then in a few months, we're going to visit community and we'll see how all three of those help determine what our community situation looks like. But for today, let's focus on the rhythms and routines. And the first thing I want to do is I want to talk about the what, the definition phase here. So what is the difference between a rhythm and a routine? And is there a room or need for both in the home?
Yes. Yes, so I think that the difference between a rhythm and a routine is a routine is more structure. A routine mm-hmm. is very black and white. This is what you're going to do. This is when you're going to do it. This is how it's going to be done. It's consistent. It's every day. There's a little bit less room for wiggle with right. routine. obviously, there's some overlap between the two, right? Mm-hmm. Rhythms and routines go hand in hand. But to me, the word rhythm has kind of just given me a sense of refreshment over my soul because it just feels a little looser. Like it just feels like, okay, I have these rhythms in place. I have these things that I can fall back on that I know I need to do, preferably on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. But it allows a little bit more space for life to be lived, a little bit more space for the wiggle room, a little bit more space for some change and some grace because I do have young kids. Mm-hmm. And as much as I want the structured set routine every single day, that is not my reality.
Right.
So for a rhythm, I would say it's these ideas that I have that are based off of routine that mm-hmm. I kind of have in place each day for us to function best without holding too tightly to it has to be done a certain way at a certain time every single day.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I think when I think the word rhythm, I immediately think of music because we are musical people, you know, and the rhythm of a piece of music is what you would dance to. It's mm-hmm. what, you know, it's yes. what makes your soul just kind of connect with that piece of music. And this is what I wrote down to define the rhythm. The rhythm tends to be more cyclical and seasonal. And that's the other thing. So in a song, a rhythm is cyclical. You know, it's repetitive. So it establishes the rhythm at the beginning of the song, and then it just keeps repeating itself. So the rhythm tends to be more cyclical and seasonal, more of a way of life, Rhythms are how we move through life according to our identity, values, and priorities. And I have kind of signaled out four rhythms of the Christian life, not me, but this is just through the reading that I've done. And these are the four that a lot of people talk about: worship, rest, work, and play. Mm-hmm. And we're going to dive into each of those. And then the routine facilitates our rhythms on a daily and weekly basis. So a routine is the practical working out of the rhythm. That's how I would define and differentiate between the two. Yeah. So what are some common household routines that we would commonly try? What are your routines right now? I would like to know that.
Well, I'm sitting here kind of thinking about the way you described rhythm and routine, and it really, like, it hits the nail on the head, right? Like, a routine is very practical, the working out of a rhythm. And then the rhythm is moving through seasons and, mm-hmm. and having that more ebb and flow, right? And the scripture that comes to mind is that there is a season for everything. Mm-hmm. And I think as humans, myself, preaching to myself here, is that I want to hold tightly to one season as I have it figured out, and that's sure. what I'm going to do.
Absolutely. Because this is working now, so nobody change anything.
Exactly. Yes. But the Lord gives us this perfect picture throughout the seasons of weather yeah. and the year that, like, no, there is a time for things. There is a time for change. Mm-hmm. And so learning how to really lean into that. So even you asking, like, what are my routines? I feel like it is... I am in a season where I am having to learn how to adapt. Mm-hmm. I'm having to learn how to have some structure and set some things in place in my home, but then also kind of ask myself, what season are we in? Like, right. what is this a season for this? Is it not a season for this? And what is going to best serve my family and make us come alive? And mm-hmm. and my biggest thing that I have to constantly remind myself of, and that I'm trying to speak over my kids, is like, the Lord has given us the opportunity to live in joy.
Yeah.
And His desire for our home is for it to be a place of peace. And how can we best set ourselves up for that? And mm-hmm. sometimes very structured routines is the best way to do that. But then there are times where I have to take a step back, allow some rhythms to flow naturally,
yeah.
and give my kids the space to feel that peace in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, our routines are... how much do you want me to go into, like homeschool, like what kind of routines do you want me to talk about?
Just what does a regular weekly routine look like for you right now? So let me set it up and say, just for context, you have been a homemaker for 12 years now?
12 going on 13.
Okay. Yes. Oh,
that's crazy.
But you are in your first year of homeschooling.
Yes.
So that is a gigantic shift and change in yes. your home life. And that's why you're saying, like, right now, like, you're feeling the need to be more flexible, because you just never know. You just never know what's going to be happening right. in the homeschooling world. So I was just curious, like, what's a typical routine look like for you right now?
Yeah. So to best set ourselves up within my home, my typical routine, and this is not for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that loud and clear, because I have been through seasons where I lived under the lie where I believed I was failing in my walk with Christ because I was not getting up early in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I am currently in a season where I am able to get up early in the morning.
Yeah.
That is new. Like, that is pretty new. Because just the reality of mm-hmm. life and kids and waking up, and it still does not happen every day. So I want to say that before I say that part of my routine is getting up early.
Yeah.
And it has to happen. My day functions so differently if I am not up a semi-substantial amount of time before mm-hmm. the rest of the house gets up.
Right.
It's how I prepare my heart. It's how I prepare my mind. I spend time with the Lord. And I just have the opportunity to honestly set up our home as well. So I have my quiet time. I have my coffee. I journal. I just get to go at my own pace. Mm-hmm. And then I get to set up breakfast and get that out and get the kids' school stuff ready, without having 75 different conversations and questions and right. things being thrown at me. And it sets me up in a way so then when everybody's awake, the house is moving, and we're getting started, I have had what fills me, and then I can live from the overflow of that
for
mostly the remainder of the day.
So I would call that a morning routine.
Yes.
That's your morning routine.
Yes.
Right now.
Right.
And that is what's working right now.
Exactly.
But I said, this is like the unofficial slogan of this show is to always be flexible. Always be flexible. Because truly, I mean, we talk about seasons on the show when I talk to the seasoned homemakers, and it's often, we cover a lot of ground in that area because I was like, what was your hardest transition from one season to another? And they're like, well, there's this one and this one and this one, and because it's constantly changing. Yes. I mean, that's the one thing that you can count on is that it will always be changing.
Right.
But I see that as a gift from the Lord to keep us on our toes, to keep us dependent upon Him.
Exactly.
Because if I feel like I've got it figured out and I'm like, okay, this is our system till the end of time.
Right. Yes. It's not going to work.
It would make me feel better, you know?
Exactly.
Like, I think it would make me feel better.
Right.
I think I would find so much security in that. And then that gets us back to that identity question. No, my security is in Christ. It's not in whether or not I can maintain the same system with my household for the rest of eternity.
Right.
That's not going to work.
Well, and it takes away your need for the Lord,
yes,
right? Because in our weakness is where He shines. And as sometimes, as silly as it seems to say, that like in our weakness of being a homemaker or having routines in my home, but at the end of the day, He wants to be glorified in everything that we do. And He wants us to see our need for Him in everything. And right now, the season I'm in is homeschooling mom of three young kids, and that is where I need to see my weakness and my desperation for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so for rhythm versus routine, that's a morning routine for me, right? But an example of rhythms are I have a list of things that I know have to happen every single day for us to thrive in my home in a way of peace and joy and just unity as a family. And so if everything is a wash and our quote unquote routines don't happen, then the rhythms we fall back onto are we spend time together eating a good breakfast and getting into God's word somehow. Now, this is not picture perfect.
Yeah.
It is not an Instagrammable family devotional. Some days it is, and I'm thankful for the once a month of that.
Yeah, that's a rare occurrence, I will tell you.
Yes, but it's just, sometimes it's just speaking scripture over my kids or reminding them, listen, the joy of the Lord is our strength, or reminding them of a Bible verse we've been talking about. Sometimes it's putting a silly worship song on and just having fun. Sometimes it's just praying with them to just recenter my own heart and to remind like my role in all of our chaos and emotions. So that is a huge rhythm. Another huge rhythm for us is getting outside. Doesn't matter what our routine is, doesn't matter what everybody's feeling. If we get outside sometime in the first quarter of the day, it sets all of us up for a much more refreshing rest of the day. And so that's a rhythm, because as much as I'd like to structure, we're going to do this from 8 to 9, this from 9 to 10, then we're going to get outside. It doesn't work that way. But I always have it as an easy, like, we know what this does for us. And we know that we are going to function better if we make this a priority. And so it's my go-to, right? It's like my list of of things to just, all right, now we're going to grab that and we're going to do it. And we're going to roll with it.
So you've covered in your, what you just said, you've covered three. Because you talked about work, you've got work to do, getting up and getting yourself, you've got personal worship in there. But then you've also got setting it up for the day, getting ready, doing your schooling. But then you talked about worship, speaking, the word of God over your kids, or spending some time together with a worship song or whatever it is. And then play, I would say going outside is the play. So when do you rest?
Yeah, that is a really, really hard one, because I struggle with rest because it feels very unproductive, but I also desperately see my need for it. But I am raising three kids who, I think any child struggles with this, who rest feels like a punishment, right? And so they don't want to rest. They don't want to have quiet time. They don't want to go in their beds. But it is a daily, it is a rhythm that we do daily in our house, because I know not only the need for it, but it's an obedience to the Lord. And so, not that I always over-spiritualize it with my kids, because there are some days where I am brutally honest and say, we all just need to go to our own spaces. It'll be better for everybody. But I, especially my oldest, who is now 9, trying to help her understand, like, rest is a good thing, that God has created our bodies in a way to where we need to just take some time and just be. And so I'm not asking her to fall asleep.
Right.
I'm not asking her to do something she doesn't want to do, even though she feels like she doesn't want to do it. I mean, that's not the best way to say it, but I'm not necessarily asking her to, like, she's not in trouble. She's not, doesn't have to go to sleep. She doesn't have to take a nap, but she needs to find something that is refreshing for her body. And that is going to then best set her up to do what the Lord has called her to do, and to be kind and to grow healthy and to feel her best. And then I flip that by saying, like, mom needs the same thing. And it's really hard for me to do, but because I'm asking her to do that, it gives me a little accountability. Like, I need to take this time and not clean and not do all of the things and just be. And that is something that we're really working into our daily rhythms. And I would say our weekly routines. So we are, as a family, trying to figure out how to incorporate more of a weekly Sabbath
rest
for our family. And we're learning and we're figuring it out, but we see the need for it and the obedience for it, right? And, I mean, God gives us the example in creation and gives us an example through his life, and Jesus does that in scripture. And so we should do it too.
Absolutely. So we're kind of already into the motivation, the why. We did some definition there. What are some of the common reasons that people apart from Christ, and we sort of have touched on this, what are some common reasons why people would try to establish rhythms and routines? What do you think?
So I think people apart from Christ, but then also in my flesh.
In our flesh, yeah.
The reasons I want rhythms and routine is to be efficient, to be productive, to be able to show what I have done successfully, because I feel like if I have more structure and more routine, then I can have a little bit more tangible evidence of what happens.
Yes, that's it right there. That's the key word, tangible evidence, because so much of what we do in the home, it is just, if it is tangible, like a clean kitchen sink, it's very quickly undone.
Right. Yeah.
We might have done all this tangible work that, you know, then we become like the tyrant. Nobody touch anything or mess up anything until dad gets home, because I want him to see that I actually accomplished something today, you know, and I want to feel like I accomplished something today.
Right.
Because I can look at that clean sink and I can say, oh, I did that.
Yes.
Yes. I did something.
It feels like you, like your time was worth it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I would say that's about maybe half of what we do, or maybe less. I think the greater work, which is the whole point of this podcast, the greater work is the relationship building, the time we spend with one another, pouring into our kids, pouring into our husband, reflecting Christ through the hands-on things that we do in the home. That's really what it's about. And that's the reason why we do it.
Yeah.
That's very, it's eternal, not temporal.
Right.
So it's not something we can necessarily hold in our hands.
Yeah.
And I think that's really frustrating.
It is for really
us
frustrating.
In our flesh.
Yes. Yes. Especially in the culture we live in, where we are attached to social media, and it can be such a gift and used for good, but we also see quick 30-second, 1-minute pictures of, here's what your perfect routine should look like, or here's what a successful day looks like, or here's what you can do with an hour in your morning. You know, all of these before and afters, and I don't know, those reels where it's watch my morning routine. And it's like, that would be so nice, or help me clean this room or whatever it may
be. Yeah, that looks lovely, but that's not my reality.
Exactly. And so we see that, and then we see the perfect picture of what our mind thinks that everybody else has, when in reality, it's just not reality. And so I think, to answer your question, that's what the world says routines are for.
Yes.
And that's what sometimes our flesh is wanting to grasp onto.
Right. Absolutely. So I wanted to, I don't have my Bible in front of me, so I'm just going to look up Psalm 1 because I wanted to talk about the difference between how the world and us in our flesh would tend to, why we would tend to establish rhythms and routines, you know, to be more, to try harder, to do more, to reach goals, all those kinds of things. Versus it's more, it's not that that's necessarily bad, but when we get back to that identity issue and why is it that we're actually wanting to achieve those goals or do more? Is it so that we look good or so that we feel good about how we're spending our time? What God has called us to is not efficiency, it is fruitfulness. So I wanted to talk about the difference between efficiency and fruitfulness. And I wanted to read this passage out of Psalm 1. It says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." So, fruitfulness versus efficiency. Can you think of a time or an example, maybe something lately, where the Lord has shown you the difference between fruitfulness and efficiency?
Yeah, I think in going off of that scripture, just the picture of like the roots being so deeply rooted is this season that the Lord has me in. Like, I can't see it. Mm-hmm. I cannot see what he is doing. I daily am having to lay down and surrender that I'm not necessarily seeing the fruits of my labor right now. And so what I find is that when I am not abiding in Christ and I'm not dwelling with him daily, I try to see the fruits of my labor through the productivity in my home. Mm-hmm. And he is constantly having to shift my mindset and remind me, no, the fruit of your labor is through the work you're doing in your home, loving your husband, loving your kids, going deep and building those roots, and you're not going to see that. And so having a cleaner kitchen or having your laundry done or having your kids keep their room clean, like that is not a picture of the roots that I am sowing right now. Mm-hmm. And it's an incredibly hard place to be because we want that tangible evidence. We want to see the fruit of our labor. And he is so, and this is what I wish that like I could remember every single day. And the one thing I wish anybody could walk away with is he is so good to show up and mm-hmm. give us those small glimpses of his grace and his glory and his goodness. Mm-hmm. But we miss it. Miss it because we're trying to cultivate it ourselves. And we miss it because I'm trying to focus so hard on routine or getting the thing done or making sure I see my own fruit that I miss the glimpses of the fruit of my kids or I miss mm-hmm. the areas where he is showing me those roots that are being sown. And that's where rest comes into play. And that's where the quietness and the slowing down and the abiding with Christ, because the more we abide with him, the more that we are dwelling with him, the easier it is for us to hear his voice. And then we hear his voice and see mm-hmm. the work that he is doing.
Yeah.
But if we're filling it with our own time and our own agendas, then we're missing it. And then it's this cycle of then the enemy slips in and then we feel like we have to do it ourselves. And then we feel like our work is wasted.
And I don't see the fruit. And why am I doing this? And well, you're not going to see the fruit. A lot of the fruit you won't see because it's not the season for the fruit.
Right.
It's the season for digging the roots, you know, getting the roots, like you were just saying. But I love that you pointed out that God is so good. And so gracious. He will give us little glimpses, little affirmations, but we have to slow down in order to be able to pay attention to see what's going on.
Right.
And that balance of the rhythm of worship, rest, work, and play, I will speak for myself, tend to spend most of my time in the work arena.
Right. Same.
It is heavily, heavily weighted on that. If it was like a scale, you know, the work scale would be heavily weighted. It would all be there. And the Lord is constantly having to rein it in my heart and be like, nope. It's time to turn it off. Especially as homemakers, this is really hard because you never leave your workspace.
Right.
You're always here. It's not like I get to shut my computer down at the office and then say, okay, I'm done with work now and turn that off and drive home and now I'm home. It's a constant although now with the work from home, I think it's probably harder than it used to be for people to turn work off. But for the homemaker, there's always work to be done. There's always something more I could be doing. And I've talked about that before on the show, that it is very, very tempting to just work right up until bedtime.
Yeah.
Especially when I had kids at home and I was homeschooling, because it's like, well, I've got to do this work at some point, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's got to get done.
Yeah.
And just not having the discipline needed to say, nope, that can wait. The Lord's going to give me time to do what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And there's a big difference between understanding what really needs to be done and what can wait, or what can just, I can just let that go.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Understanding there's a balance between all of that. But if I want to see some affirmation, if I want to really be able to hear from him, like you're saying, I have to slow down. I have to take time to rest and to worship and to spend time in his word, because that's how he speaks to us. So does it look like to have rhythm of worship in our lives as homemakers, as wives, as moms? How do we do that?
You don't compare.
Well, that's true.
I think the biggest thing is feeling like your life is harder or different or busier, or looking at other people and wondering how they're able to do it. Mm-hmm. And so immediately you're shutting off the capacity in your mind to experience where the Lord has you. I think one of the biggest conversations I have with women right now, especially moms, is how am I supposed to do this? Like, yeah. I literally never have a second to myself. My kids are up all night. I am exhausted. I'm washing mm-hmm. dishes. I'm changing diapers. I'm homeschooling. I'm carpooling. I'm taking them to sports. Like, whatever it may be, like, how am I supposed to make that happen? And I think the one thing that I have learned, and to kind of piggyback off of the previous conversation, is mm-hmm. when I'm prioritizing getting into God's word, he mm-hmm. is faithful. And the more I know God's word, the more I know him mm-hmm. and I know his character. And then the more I experience him throughout my day. Yeah. So when I know the character of God, when I know that God is loving, I know that God is kind, I know that God is faithful, I know that he is generous. Mm-hmm. And I know that because of spending time in scripture, then throughout my day, I get to experience his character throughout the things that he has called me to in this season. And it doesn't always mean that it's quiet and it's this amazing worship session, or that I'm having all this quiet prayer time, but it means yeah. that I can experience his kindness through my kids, and I can experience his forgiveness through mm-hmm. through my own mistakes and having to talk through that with my kids, and I can experience his love and his holiness through the daily tasks that I'm getting to do. And it all starts with knowing his word. It all starts with spending time with him. And that doesn't mean that we have to carve an hour out of our day and yeah. sit and read scripture.
Right.
But it means filling your mind with truth, whether that means reading scripture 20 minutes a day, whether that means turning on worship music, mm-hmm. whether that means listening to a podcast that is going to fill your mind with truth. I do think that regardless of the busyness of our season, we need to be getting scripture in our mind somehow, whether yeah. we're reading scripture, whether we're listening to scripture. Mm-hmm. I don't think podcasts and stuff, they have their place and they're amazing, but it can't replace God's word.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's where it starts, right? And then recognizing the pockets throughout our day where, no, I am weak and I need his strength, and I'm mm-hmm. going to lean into that right now. Or finding moments to where maybe you're a little bit more distracted and you actually do have the time to lay down some things mm-hmm. and pick up some moments with the Lord, whether it be you're in your car, stop scrolling your phone and turn on a worship song, or right. whether it be truly just having a conversation with your kids about praising the Lord for mm-hmm. some different things. Yesterday, this was so not in my own doing, but it was the perfect example. I was just trying to prep the kids for some stuff we had going on, and I started just saying some things I was thankful for. And mm-hmm. then I asked one of my other kids, what are you grateful for that we get to do today? And it just, we were driving in the car, and it just ended up turning into this opportunity for us to talk about things that we were grateful for that we were getting to do that day.
Yeah.
And it was such a cool moment from the Lord of, I paused and mm-hmm. allowed what he was doing in my own heart to surface, mm-hmm. and I used that as the overflow mm-hmm. right? And I think some of those moments are some of the best gifts mm-hmm. from when we're spending time with the Lord, right? Like he is working in our own heart. And when we are willing to pause and listen and see that, he gives us the tools in the moments that we have.
Right.
But if we're constantly rushing or if we're constantly filling our mind with other noise, then we're going to miss those.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes if people are, we might tend to conjure up in our minds, okay, worship means I need to be like on my knees, you know, with my Bible in front of me, or maybe singing a hymn or something. You know, we tend to equate worship with a worship service at church.
Right.
And it's hard sometimes for us to understand what it means to have to live a life of worship and to practice personal worship
right.
in our own, you know, prayer closet, if you will, mm-hmm. with the Lord on a day-to-day basis. So I love what you're talking about there is just an awareness of, you know, like, I think it was Brother Lawrence. Did he write the Practicing the Presence of God book? A monk from a long, 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 long time ago. But he talked about practicing the presence of God just all the time, being aware of God's present here with us. And I can worship him as I wash the dishes. Mm-hmm. And I can worship him as I fold these clothes. And being thankful as I pray over the people who these clothes are that I'm folding.
Yes.
And when you have your kids around you, any opportunity that you have to be able to point to God, point to his character, point to his provision, mm-hmm. point to all of that is worship. And it's a whole life thing. But I do also feel like it is important to establish some routines of worship in that, okay, we're going to make this a priority because this is something we value. This is a very, very important to us. It's why we were made to worship.
Right.
And we want to make sure we're worshiping the true object of our worship, Jesus. So making sure that there's a time for you at some point in the day. It does not have to be first thing in the morning.
Right.
Depends on the season. Helping your children establish that kind of a routine, mm-hmm. you know, help like modeling it for them, but then also discipling them in that, you know,
right.
helping them understand how they can worship the Lord privately in their own time. And then having times to worship corporately
right.
as a family, and then going to worship with a local body of believers.
Right.
Those to me speak to the routine of worship that
yes.
we would put in, you know, we would put in these routines of how we structure our time on a day-to-day and weekly basis so that we get to regularly practice that rhythm of worship, you know,
yeah.
intentionally, not right. just, I'm going to throw up a prayer of thanks. That's important, but we want to also have those routine structures in place. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, and the reality of routines are that routines are going to make us uncomfortable.
Sure.
Right, because
yeah.
we as humans want to be lazy, or
yeah,
we
don't like
we have
discipline.
Other things that we do. I don't want discipline, but discipline is biblical.
Yeah,
and so in this whole conversation, there's a constant tension, right, of like keeping routines,
yeah.
keeping that discipline and structure, but also not letting it become Lord
exactly.
of your mind and your life. But there is a place for that routine of worship, right?
Yeah.
Because if I am not committing to doing something that's uncomfortable,
right,
then I'm always going to find another way to fill my time. Even
absolutely.
If it's sleeping, like I'm always going to find something that in that moment feels more important
mm-hmm.
than God's word. And I went through a season where I really struggled with that because I was like, why is this not what I want to do every single day? So I felt horrible. But
mm-hmm.
the reality is the world is throwing all of these things at us. And sometimes it doesn't feel like the most important thing, but we do it out of discipline.
Yeah.
And we do it because of routine. And then the more you do it out of the discipline, the more you keep that routine
mm-hmm.
of spending time in God's word and living in that specific worship, then you're going to desire it more,
right.
and he is going to meet you there.
Right.
But just because you're not feeling it,
mm-hmm.
like that's where the routine comes into play.
Exactly.
Like I'm not feeling it, but I know that this has to be done. And I know that the Lord's going to meet me there and he's going to be faithful for it. And he
mm-hmm.
always, always is.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's kind of like I liken like daily Bible reading. I liken it to, I wrote this in the post I did about the daily Bible reading. It's sort of like brushing your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So you just get into the habit so that on the days that you don't brush your teeth, you like, I can't go to bed without brushing my teeth.
Right.
Ew. It just feels ew. Ick.
Yes.
Well, you know, like I have to brush my teeth before I can get into bed.
Yeah.
And I feel like with establishing that discipline, even on the days you don't feel like it, that routine of I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm not going to say I'm going to read the whole Bible. I'm going to read what today's Bible reading is. And hopefully right. I'll reach the goal of having gone through the whole Bible at the end of the year. But if I don't do it every morning, I feel it. Like I feel the scum on my teeth, you know?
Yeah.
Like I got to do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel right.
One of our, somebody I used to work with would say that, listen, if you go a couple days without reading the Bible, like you're going to feel it. Mm-hmm. But then if you go a few more days, like your house is going to feel it.
Yeah.
And then if you go a few more days, like your neighbors, it just continues to grow, mm-hmm. right? Like you may not think it's that big of a deal to go 1 or 2 days here or there. You kind of feel it. It kind of feels blah and off. But then the more it happens, the more it's going to show in the fruitfulness of your life.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where we as homemakers and this conversation of rhythms and routines get so discouraged is it just feels like another thing that we have to do. Mm-hmm. And that is a narrative that we have to flip the script of, because it isn't another thing that we have to do, but we have the opportunity to be in relationship with the God who has created us, who is over all things, that he is sovereign, and in his love and in his kindness, he has given us the chance to be in relationship with him, mm-hmm. and spending time learning his word is that way. And for mm-hmm. some people, it feels really overwhelming and it feels really scary and it feels really confusing, but you have to push through that. You have to find a method that works for you. You have to find a Bible reading plan or something and just stay committed, stay disciplined, and stick to that routine, because he's going to meet you there. And anything else is the enemy thwarting your mind and distracting you and keeping you from mm-hmm. the place that you need to be.
Right. And I would say too, don't overcomplicate it.
Right.
Like a lot of times we'll think, well, okay, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to be all in and it's going to be this. And we have these elaborate plans of what, you know, maybe we're going to establish a family worship time. And that, can I just tell you, we used to do that in our homeschool days. I would start the day with that with the kids. Uh-huh. I might have told this story before on the show. I apologize if I have. But I have visions of what it was going to look like, mm-hmm. you know? And like you said earlier, there's sometimes where they're sitting attentively listening. And most of the time, though, you guys, it's stop touching your brother. Mom, she's touching me. Mom, stop. Yes. Stop. And somebody's like hanging upside down off the couch. And some, you know, and I'm over here trying to lead us in a song. And I'm like, we worship the Lord. Stop touching your brother. You know, and that's just the reality of what it usually looked like. But right. we did it. And you know what? I'm not saying, hear me, please hear me. I'm not saying that if you establish a family worship time and sing song with your kids, this is what's going to happen.
Right.
But I look back and I see fruitfulness. Mm-hmm. I see, you know, my children, at least three of my kids who love to lead worship. Mm. They, you know, that's been like, that has borne fruit that I never expected to see in my kids. And it is very satisfying. And I'm very, very grateful that he allowed me to see that. Mm-hmm. But you may not see that, you know, right. you may, and it may show itself in a million different ways in your kids 20 years from now.
Yeah.
But just, I could tell you, I could sit here for an hour and talk about the fruit that it bore in my heart.
Mm. Yeah.
To sit there and do that with my kids and to be patient and to let the Lord teach me lessons in those times, because that's really, there's so many lessons there that I learn. But just, it doesn't, I guess I'm cautioning people to not think it has to look a certain way.
Right.
It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be an hour long lesson. It can be right. simple.
Yeah.
The most powerful things that Jesus teaches in the Gospels are just really simple things, really yeah. simple stories and examples that he gave.
Yeah.
So keep it simple. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about rest. And I wanted to just read this because I thought this was so interesting. In 24 hours, the average adult accomplishes a lot. His heart beats over 103,000 times. His blood travels 168 million miles in 24 hours. He breathes 23,000 times. He inhales 438 cubic feet of air, eats 3.5 pounds of food, drinks 3 quarts of liquid, speaks 4,800 words on average, probably for the woman, it would be double that, moves 750 muscles, and his nails grow 0.00004 inches in 24 hours. And exercises 7 million brain cells. It is no wonder that we need rest. And then this is just a piece that I found, an article about rest in the Christian. And he goes on to talk about how for the Hebrews, it was a law. It was part of the law. Mm-hmm. Sabbath keeping was real, was the real rest that was actually a picture of the spiritual rest mm-hmm. that was to come. Like the Hebrews were to recognize that their salvation was not yet complete because they were looking forward to the Messiah. Mm-hmm. So every week they would act that out in the act of taking a spiritual break, recognizing, okay, we can't keep the law perfectly. We can keep it all week long, but the Sabbath every single week is a way to say it's really going to be up to God to accomplish that for us. And there's nothing we can do. And so they would literally do nothing that day, just rest. But for the believer, for the New Testament believer in Christ, because Jesus has already accomplished that, and he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest is a matter of wisdom, not law for us.
Right.
And I just wanted to spend just a minute talking about rest for the homemaker. We already talked a little bit about why that's so hard. How do you guys, on a weekly basis, establish or what are you hoping to establish times of rest on a weekly basis? Because you said this was something you're working towards. What would that look like for you ideally right now?
Yeah. So for what we're kind of working through, and my husband and I have had a lot of conversations about it because we, to be totally honest, at the beginning did not see eye to eye because mm-hmm. in his mind, taking a weekly Sabbath from, and he's not the only one who thinks this. I think this is a pretty common thought, is that taking a weekly Sabbath means you just don't do anything.
Yeah.
Like that you turn off the TV, you don't use like anything fun. You sit and read a book, you know, like, and in his mind, he's like, that's not life-giving to me. Like, why, you know, why?
Why would
and
we
through
do that?
That conversation, we were able to kind of come to this point of, no, rest and Sabbath is supposed to be something that draws us near to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be different for everybody. And so in our family, what are some things and activities that truly draw us closer to the heart of Christ? Mm-hmm. For me, getting out in sunshine, being in nature, going on walks, spending time with my kids in a way that is play.
Yeah.
Because I don't do that well. And so during the week, it is not natural for me to really engage in play. I have to work hard for it. Mm-hmm. But having that built-in Sabbath eliminates all of the things that I go to naturally, like my tendencies, like the laundry or the dishes or the cleaning of the floors or picking up their bedrooms or putting things away. Mm-hmm. And when all of that is off the table, then I find this freedom to just play and to just be. And there's times that I have to work at it. Like Sabbath is rest, but I have to choose it mm-hmm. because it's not natural for me. And so we have, in figuring it out, we're learning that we have to prepare for it. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't just happen.
Yes.
We have to prepare our home for it. So we have, ideally our Sabbath is kind of Saturday night through Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Again, I really struggled with this whole idea of only Sunday because then like, how am I going to prep for the week? Like, what does that look like?
And right.
there is not, it doesn't have to be a certain way. So for us, mm-hmm. like we spend Saturday morning up until like later afternoon. I mean, doing sports, kids, things, all this stuff. But our focus is like, how can we reset our home in the most efficient manner mm-hmm. to then when Saturday night hits, we cook a fun family meal or we go out to dinner, or even hang out with friends. Like none of those things are off the table.
Right.
What's off the table is me feeling like I'm having to do things around the home mm-hmm. that measure my success in the home.
Right.
And I had to have a very intentional conversation with my husband about that because I would find that, okay, I'm taking a Sabbath, like I'm sitting here reading a book and he's folding laundry and in his mind, he's being helpful. Mm. And then in my mind, I'm like, oh no, like
that's
work. You're screaming what I'm not doing enough
yes.
of right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And so we had to just lay down all of that. Now, can he still go do yard work? Sure. Because like he's filled. He's listening to a podcast. He's enjoying it.
That's
you
my
know,
husband.
Like
he loves it.
Yes. And so we had to have these conversations about like what classifies as work in our home. Mm-hmm. And for us as homemakers, our work is our home. We never leave. So we almost have to take the initiative as like making a little bit of a list of things that say, no, these are the things that I need to be okay laying down.
Yeah.
Here's what's life-giving to me. I'm going to do less of this, more of this. Mm-hmm. And each week I've gotten better. We've gotten better at it. Sometimes Saturdays I go ahead and prepare breakfast for Sunday, you know, just small little things to where it is making less and less for me to do Sunday. It has definitely not happened overnight, and we have a long ways to go, but we have seen the fruits as a family of even just the intentional time together of making that a priority.
Absolutely. No, I love what you're pointing out there, that, and this is kind of the question I had about how do we leverage homemaking to help and not hinder our healthy rhythms and routines? And so leveraging the homemaking of order and how am I going to set up the laundry schedule? When am I going to put my grocery order in, and when am I going to go pick up those groceries and all those kinds of things? I need to think about that in relation to that goal, that value I have of establishing a regular pattern of rest. And we're going to try to make Sabbath work for our family, a weekly Sabbath time. Well, what does that look like for us? Okay, well, that means I am not going to be doing all of those things on that Sabbath day. So it has to get done at some point. So thinking about how can I organize the rest of my week to make sure that that happens and I really can rest on the Sabbath day. Now, sometimes it's not going to happen. And like you said, you still have to be committed to taking the time to rest.
Right.
It might look a little different that week, but I think that's where that flexibility comes in. And God recognizes that, you know, we're fallible and life happens and things happen. Again, not allowing the commitment we made to this rhythm or routine become the Lord and surpass His sovereignty and His will for us and just, you know, His understanding and His kindness to us. We have to always keep that in hold that into account, take that into account. But I want to spend a little bit of time because we're getting long on time here, but I want to talk to about, I don't feel so much that we've talked a lot about work and we understand. I think if anybody takes anything from this conversation, we're trying to just let people know that there's a time for everything. Like you said, there's a time to work. Work is not bad. Work on this side of the curse. It's been cursed. But before Adam and Eve fell, they were working the garden. You know, work is good. God has given us work to do, to be fruitful, to glorify Him in the world. But we do have to deal with the curse, with the consequences of the curse and of sin. And that makes it difficult for us to keep work in its proper place, I will say.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
But play. Play is hard. Play is hard for me. And I like that you put play and worship and play and rest kind of all together. Because a lot of times the Sabbath, that time that we take to rest is a time that we can, if I'm resting, I can tend to be more open to play.
Right.
We don't play a lot of tons of board games on the regular here. I wish we did. But when everybody's here for Christmas or for a holiday and I'm like really, I feel like I can let down and be off the clock and not doing my normal homemaking routine, we play all kinds of games.
Right.
You know, that's the time that I play the most.
Right.
And I would like to be better about that.
Yeah.
Being able to play more. So how about you? Is that something you struggle with or work on?
Yes. It is something I really struggle with. And my husband is so good at it. And, sometimes I just wish I was more like him because he is so good at just setting down what needs to be done, not in a lazy or irresponsible way, but just recognizing that there's a time to just lean in and have fun. Whereas I'm like, no, we haven't done all these other things. How dare you go do that? Like, what are you thinking? but I, in light of Sabbath and rest, I think play fits perfectly into that because when we think about rest, the world tells us that rest should look a certain way, right? You need to go lay in your bed. You need to sit down and read a book, or you need to like physically rest your body.
Yeah.
And I have learned, especially this year of homeschooling and trying to figure out like, what is the difference in all of these different things that we're doing and how do I play, but then be teacher, but then be mom, but then have fun, but then be rigid, all, you know, that play can equal rest. And rest doesn't mean having to lay down and take a nap, but it also is not just like scrolling and watching TV, right? We have to be so intentional in what we're doing. And so for, I know I keep bringing back the previous thing, but Sabbath and rest for me is usually more play. It's when we go to the park. It's when we go on walks. It's when we play board games. So for you saying around the holidays, like y'all play more games and stuff. To me, that equates to similarly is our Sabbath is I know that all of my other responsibilities can't be done right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm finally picking up and enjoying doing the things that we enjoy doing.
Right.
And the last couple of weekends we've gone and played pickleball with our kids or we go play tennis, you know, so mm-hmm. it's not like Sabbath and rest doesn't mean that you have to be sedentary. It just yes. means doing something that is fueling your soul and drawing you near to the Lord. And I fully believe that play mm-hmm. is one of the ways to do that. Don't get me wrong. There's a time and place for taking a nap. There are weeks where I'm like, I need to yes. lay down and take a nap. I'm exhausted.
Yes, yes.
But more often than not, leaning into play mm-hmm. is way more refreshing and fueling mm-hmm. than anything else. And I have found it is not easy. And there are times that I hate to say this, that I don't want to do it. I wish it came more natural, mm-hmm. but I'm always glad that I did it. And mm-hmm. I'm always better for it. And it's just like reading scripture, right? The more you do those things, mm-hmm. the more you see the need for it and the benefit of it and you crave it. But sometimes it's uncomfortable and you have to like do the hard thing.
Yeah.
Even though it feels silly to say that it's hard, mm-hmm. but you have to do the hard thing to see the benefit of it. And then it just becomes a little bit more natural.
Mm-hmm. And we're saying this word play, but it's very loose. Like I am not a sporty person.
Right.
At all.
Yeah. It doesn't mean you have to go play pickleball or tennis,
no,
but like just something like something that makes you laugh.
Something,
and have
yeah,
fun.
Something restorative. So I found another quote that I want to read. This is from an article by James B. Jordan. He's a theologian, super smart guy. But he says, he's talking about the difference between like, should Christians participate in play, sport, you know, like almost from the context of sporting. And he's saying, yeah, you know, the pagan does not play for fun. He plays for glory and honor, right? Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to say, Christians get their glory and honor from Christ. Thus, their engagement in play is never for the purpose of acquiring glory. Christians play for fun, not for mm-hmm. blood, because they are clothed in Christ's glory. Christians are free in both their work and their play. They both play more and are more serious than the pagans. One of the most noticeable things about a Christian community is the amount of playing and horsing around that goes on. Non-Christians almost always remark on this. And he says, I'm going to sum this up. The Bible gives a philosophy on play in Proverbs 8:30-31, which literally reads, then I was beside him, a master workman, and I was daily his delight, playing always before him, playing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. This wisdom with a capital W, the pre-incarnate Christ is speaking. Notice how work and play are placed together before the throne of God. The same word is for play is used in Samson's sporting in Judges, of David's dance before the ark. It is used of the play of the Leviathan in the sea in Psalm 104, and of the play of children in Zechariah 8:5. Thus, the play of Christians is an analogical replica of the play of the Son of God. It is sheer fun and delight in the creation. And I just love that picture, you know, and that's what we were made for. We were made out of the overflow of the joy of God, you know. I think it's C.S. Lewis that talks about us swimming in the joy, that like the ocean of God's mm-hmm. joy. That's what we get to do for all eternity. And so to be known is such a sad thing that so many people, non-believers, look at Christians and think we're just a bunch of pickle sour face. Mm-hmm. Like we drank a bunch of pickle juice and we're just they know what we're against, like what we don't do. But we would rather be known for our joy in the Lord. And that's to me what I equate with that idea of practicing regular times of enjoyment, of play, just play in creation, whatever that looks like for you.
Right.
And for some, that might be getting out a bunch of paint and playing in paint, or getting in your lawn and playing in your lawn, or literally going and playing pickleball or playing sports with your kids or doing a hike or whatever, playing in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My friend Dana says on Sabbath, she will just tear it up in the kitchen. You know, that is play to her and she loves it.
Yeah.
And that delights the heart of the Lord when we delight in all these good things that he's given us in creation.
Right.
So it's really important to establish that rhythm in our lives on a regular basis. So, okay, before we close, I want to talk about a couple of things that are important as we implement this in our daily lives. Some things to consider. I have 3 points I want to make briefly. Embrace don't squander the season that you're in. Mm. Okay. So what are some things we need to think about when I say embrace, don't waste it, and don't despise the season that you're in. So what are some things that come to mind there for you?
I think things that come to mind are, we talked about it a little bit at the beginning, but recognizing that the Lord is working in and through all things that He has you doing right now. And so the roots are growing deep. Yeah. And be intentional and be purposeful and work hard. Create those routines to then set you up to be rooted firmly where the Lord has you. Mm-hmm. And stop looking at other people, stop comparing yourself, stop yeah. wishing that maybe you were doing something else or not yes. seeing the fruit. Yes. Because He has you planted in this season for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't see it right now, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think about things like learning to wait well, embracing what the season you're in right now means seeing all the potential and the possibility for what's available to you right now, rather than looking ahead and wishing for something that you don't have right now. You know, I think that's a trap. That's a trap I fell into often, was being really frustrated by my current season, mm-hmm. whatever it was that was hard, mm-hmm. and thinking, oh, if I can just get everybody out of diapers, if I can just get everybody right. to this milestone, and like, if I can just get to this point. Yeah. And I wasted and squandered a lot
yeah.
by focusing on the next season and where I thought I wanted to be.
Right.
I missed the opportunity of where I was right in that moment. Okay. Redeeming the time. You said you just read a really great book about that.
I did. It's called Redeeming Your Time by Jordan Rayner. And it is probably one of my top favorite books I've read recently.
Okay. Okay. So the main two points that I put under this, this one is, our time's not our own. It belongs to the Lord. It's a gift from us. And it's easy to waste time when you don't have a boss looking over your shoulder as a homemaker.
Yes.
So those two things really speak out to my heart about redeeming the time, not to be resentful, not to waste time, and to be remember that I'm accountable to the Lord
right.
for my time. So what about you?
Yeah, I think that's where rhythms and routine really come into play, right? Mm-hmm. And I think to kind of wrap all of it together is that our time, just like you said, it is not our own, and it is a surrender to the Lord, and we are called to be good stewards of that. And with that comes His wisdom and guidance on creating those rhythms and routines. And yeah. so we can't create our routines or our rhythms based off of what we think our life should mm-hmm. look like or what other people are doing successfully. We really have to get into His presence and allow Him to guide us in that. And then as He does, putting together some routine so that you can do what He has called you to do for right now.
Yeah.
And stick to those routines and have them in place, but then hold them mm-hmm. loosely. Mm-hmm.
I would say, practically speaking, it's important to make sure that you are cooperating with the Lord and with your partner, your husband.
Right.
In establishing those routines and rhythms, and then constantly going back and revisiting them. And we talk about that a little bit in the deep dive on values and priorities, because we were like, you're going to have certain values, family values, that will kind of stand the test of time forever, that you'll always have them. But sometimes you'll value other things more than others, depending on what stage of life you're in. And that's then why we revisit priorities often. And that plays right into our rhythms and routines. Those two things work together. And so I think it's important to sit down prayerfully mm-hmm. before the Lord with your husband and say, what is it that the Lord wants us to accomplish in this season of life that we're in right now? Or how does He want us to use the time that He's given us? Yeah. It's a resource. It's like your money. Like, Lord, where do you want us to give this year? What, you know, how do you want us to use the resource of money? Well, we need to ask the same thing of Him about our time.
Yeah.
So very practically speaking, I know we've sort of alluded to this, but I want to just be really clear. Pray over your schedule.
Right. Yes.
Like, be very prayerful about how you do your schedule, and do that in partnership with your husband. And if your kids are older, involve them in that process too. Yeah. Especially when it comes down to negotiating like different people's schedules when you've got people working in your household and doing sports and doing school and all of that. If you're going to have a good, strong family culture of cooperation and community with one another, you need to, it doesn't just need to be one person dictating everybody's schedule. It needs to be a team effort right. before the Lord.
Right.
Anything else you want to say about that? Redeeming the time?
I think the biggest thing a big thing is recognizing and paying attention to your weaknesses too. Like, what are your distractions?
Yeah.
What causes your day to kind of spiral? Where are some strongholds that the enemy has in your life? And whether it be your phone and you're easily distracted, or you tend towards just wanting to finish that show during their nap, so then at least a 30 more minutes or an hour, or it's just mental frustrations that then cause you to lash out at your kids, that then cause the day to spiral. Like, whatever it is, like, what are those triggers and those temptations and the distractions throughout your day that are building and causing for you to feel like you can't stick to these rhythms or these routines that you have prayerfully considered?
Right.
Because that stuff's going to happen. And there's a difference in that category of things. And there's a difference in just having to roll with life situations. And for a while, I feel like I kind of clumped them all together. But then I had to intentionally realize, like, no, these are different. I'm feeling really tired and frustrated right now, so I want to go sit in my room by myself and scroll my phone. But I'm going to have to choose not to do that.
Yeah.
But that's different than my kids being cranky or sick or having to roll with like a situation in my home. And so I think it's important to be aware of that, because we have our things that we fall to. We have our things that we're going to tend towards. And you're going to have a lot of time throughout your day that you tend towards those because it's comfortable, it's easy, it's numbing your mind, whatever it might be.
It's the path of least resistance.
Right. And so if you're not aware of what that is, then you can't actively fight it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, that's an excellent point. I love that. And that leads very nicely into the third thing that I want everybody to always keep in mind when we're talking about setting rhythms and routines. Margin.
Yes.
Margin, margin, margin. Leave margin for the unexpected.
Yes. I think pretty much what I just said is that there is going to be moment after moment of unexpected things that happen in our days and our lives. And personally, and I just had a really long conversation about it with my daughter yesterday, I'm constantly having to work through that, and so are my kids, that there's a place for routine, there's a place for the structure, but we have to learn how to be flexible. We have to learn how to trust that the Lord is working in all things, even when things are not going our way, or even when we don't have that control.
Right.
And we have to trust that he's going to provide regardless of if I have anything to offer. And a lot of times when my routines are off, I feel like I have nothing to offer. Mm. So I'm having to surrender, like, no, he is still my provider. He is still over all of this. And I think as I was thinking about just this conversation and rhythms and routines and in my own life and what that looks like, I was just reminded of the reality that there is so much beauty when we step into where the Lord has us. But we have to intentionally go there and we have to create margin, and we have to listen and let go of the distractions, right? But he is so faithful to meet us there. He's so faithful to go where we go, and he is going to go exceedingly above and beyond our own expectations. But we have to lay down our own desires, our own perspectives, and our own plans at times to see clearly what he has for us. And so I think that when it comes to leaving margin, it's creating that space for us to say, Lord, like, you're sovereign.
Yeah.
You are my provider. And I trust that you are going to go exceedingly above and beyond what I can even imagine for this day, this time, and this season of my life.
Absolutely. It goes back to the point we made earlier at the beginning of the conversation about leaving space to hear from him. I learned the lesson of margin during a season of serious, severe anxiety and depression in my life because I had filled up every bit of the page. Yeah. You know, when you're in grade school, your teacher's like, don't forget your margins, don't forget your margins, telling you to leave that space on the sides. Because if you fill up the whole page from end to end, the eye has nowhere to rest. There's nowhere for her to make notes in the margin about your writing. This concept of zero margin in your schedule and in your life, you may, just because you can do that load for a time, doesn't mean you should.
Right.
Filling up every available space leaves zero room for when the unexpected comes and there's a broken leg and you have to go to the hospital. And if you have every bit of your schedule filled up and there's no space for that, mm-hmm. or when an illness, a serious mm-hmm. illness hits the household, how do you remain flexible if there's no margin, if there's no breathing room?
Right.
But most importantly, and I think the two go together, is when there's zero margin, you have not made space for the Lord to enter in and speak into that.
Right.
Into your life. And that's, I think, the point that you're making, is you have not allowed space for your own eyes. You haven't allowed a place for your eyes to rest and see him working, because mm-hmm. he's always working. But if you're just so busy with a full schedule and a completely full routine, you never have the space to see where he's working. And then that, because that's what grows your faith.
Right.
And that's what allows you to then continue on with the rhythm and the routine of resting and trusting and worshiping and working and playing and all of that. So margin is huge. Allow the space in your life for the Lord to speak to you and for you to hear him and see him.
Yeah.
So, well, that's it. We're at an hour and 12 minutes. So we have to stop now. But this is so good. I could talk about this for a long time. It's so important, but really, we just need to do it, right? We just need to implement it, not just talk about it.
Yeah. And I think we said this at the beginning, and to make it quick, is just the reminder that it is, I think, because of sin and humanity and Christ, it is going to constantly be attention. And mm-hmm. we have to be okay with that. Rhythms and routines, it's an obedience, but it's also never going to fully satisfy.
Right.
So we have to live in that tension of surrendering it to the Lord, being obedient in it, but then letting him be king mm-hmm. over our life, but mm-hmm. then also using our time wisely, but mm-hmm. then not finding our identity in
right.
it, you know? And
right.
so I think to leave this conversation is just that reminder.
Yeah. It's like, have your calendar, put it in your hand, and then just hold it up to the Lord right. and just keep it there.
Right. Yes.
And let him open-handed.
Satisfy
yeah.
it. And yeah, it's necessary and it's needed,
yeah.
but it's hard.
All right. Well, thanks. This is fun.
It was fun.
It was good. Insightful. Convicting. I have thoughts. I have lots of thoughts. We'll probably be writing more about it in the newsletter because there's so much more that I'd like to explore about this. I'm going to come up with a list of resources.
Yes.
You're going to maybe send me some of your favorite resources
yes.
on this topic, and we will put that in the notes
okay.
for people to reference if they want to read more on this topic. And go forth and make good rhythms and routines in your household, ladies, with an open hand to the Lord. Thanks for joining us. Thank you so much for joining me today for this deep dive into rhythms and routines in the home with Leslie Licato. We covered a lot of ground, so I pray that you were not overwhelmed by all that we discussed today. And I want to give you a few of my top takeaways, which may be helpful for you to ponder over the next week. Rhythms are how we move through life according to our identity, values, and priorities, while a routine is the practical daily working out of a rhythm. Like a heartbeat or a song, rhythms of worship, rest, work, and play tend to repeat throughout and direct our lives, while routines are flexible and often changing, because they direct the different seasons that we go through. Our flesh will crave the false security of a routine that never changes, but routines must remain flexible in order to follow the ebb and flow of the rhythms of our lives. Routines are helpful tools to live out the rhythms we value. They are not permanent boundary lines. Homemakers, we must constantly evaluate whether our routines are helping or hindering the rhythms we desire for our family. Whether it's our laundry routine, cleaning routine, Bible study routine, bedtime routine, or any other routine, we should always be open to adjustment according to the season in ways that facilitate rhythms of worship, work, rest, and play in our home. Our aim in the running of our home and cultivating a holy home culture is not efficiency. It is fruitfulness. As believers in Christ, we are secure in our identity and called to the purpose of glorifying Him. We are all given a certain amount of raw materials, strengths, values, and gifts to work with. The pasture is wide and the options are endless as to how we use those materials in our homemaking to establish good rhythms and routines. So don't compare to another homemaker's rhythms and routines or to another season you would rather be in, one that may seem less fraught with interruptions or challenges. Cultivate fruitfulness right now by setting down deep roots in the truth of God's word and looking for his character on display all around you. And be sure to leave some margin in your routines, not just for the unexpected, but for the capacity to hear and see the goodness of God. I want to thank Leslie again for being my guest. Third time, she's tied with Karen Shepherd, I believe, for a number of guest spots on The Art of Home. But I was so glad that I got to visit with her and talk about this really, really awesome topic with her today. I'm going to link both of our favorite resources that we used to help us in today's discussion down in the show notes, as well as links to Leslie's past episodes on The Art of Home. Be sure to go and follow her on Instagram at Leslie Licato. I'll link that down below for daily biblical truths and a place to celebrate simple joys in everyday moments. She has a great account, and I know that you will be encouraged by her content. Don't forget to sign up for Homemaker Happy Mail to get free recipes and more in-depth articles on this and many other homemaking topics. And you may be one of the writers of those articles, so submit yours today. Don't forget to apply or nominate a friend to be a guest on The Art of Home by this Friday, April 5th. And finally, if you have found value in today's episode, please consider sharing it with a homemaker you know who could use this kind of encouragement. You can also help the show reach more homemakers by leaving a rating and a review on your listening app. And if you have not already, be sure to follow or subscribe or whatever the word your app uses to the show, The Art of Home, on that app, wherever you listen. That will also help to boost the show's standing on podcast charts, which directly affects if we come up on podcast searches for homemaking. And of course, you can also say thank you over on Buy Me a Coffee with a one-time tip or a monthly Titus 2 Woman membership. That is all for this episode. I will be back next week with a brand new homemaker portrait. Until then, keep practicing your art of making a home.